Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a podcast where we talk about queer and Latinx topics, such as
Tania and Yadi from La Flor Más Bella. They might be the sidekick two besties, but they should be the sidekick couple. Like, let's be honest here. Let's be real. BFFR. Be fucking for real. I don't know. I see it.
I see it for them, too. I mean, the buzz cut, the fucking sex positivity, like, how are either of them straight? I'm confused. Like,
season two, get it together. What up, cabrona?
What's poppin', chingona? What's good? What's good? What's good?
Honestly, I'm ready to dive back into this, me arguing with you about how amazing Gap is, because you didn't watch it all the way through.
I didn't. Like, okay, in my defense, and we're talking about Gap series, it's on YouTube. We talked about it last time. It's a Thai GL on YouTube. It's like
first of its kind.
First of its kind. Iconic. It's like 12, 15. How many episodes is it?
So it's 12 episodes, okay. Like, with all the parts included, probably, like, 40 minutes each.
Okay. Yeah, it's not bad. And me and Glo tried to binge it this last weekend, and it just wasn't for me the first six episodes. Like, I was just like, I am not feeling the acting. I am not feeling the chemistry. I like this side character over here that works at the office with little short hair, and I want more of, like, their friends, obviously. But I just, like, wasn't really buying anything because I was just, like, so confused. Because homegirl's, like, attitude... See, I didn't even get their names. Which is the CEO girl?
Kunsam. They're, okay, it's a slow burn. Yeah, like,
so the first, slow.
The first six episodes, like, you know, you have to get past... Like, the whole point of the series is that there's a gap between them in class, in, like, one's the boss and one's the subordinate. Like, just there's a gap that they have to, like, fucking get over. They have to get over so many fucking things, including like Thailand being incredibly homophobic,
yeah,
in order for them to finally get to that place where they're just like going at it like wild animals, which is the second half of the series. So okay, stick it out.
We only have, I guess, one more episode because we made it to six episodes. It, literally, we binged it and I was just like, I don't understand.
So you got to you quit before the payoff happened. This has been a theme in many shows that I've been watching, like shows that are weekly that I've been watching. Uh-huh. The theme is like, don't give up before you get to the good part. All right, stick it out.
That's be true. Resilient. Warrior Nun had that same vibe. It was like, oh my god, when are we getting there? Like, and then
it gets there.
It gets there. I mean, okay, you've convinced me. We're gonna give it another try because I'm just like.
You have to.
It was like giving
for society.
Mm-hmm. For society, yes. For the gay.
For mankind.
For lesbian community. For mankind. For society. For everyone. I'm going to give it a try. But honestly, like, the first six episodes were giving, like, poorly written fanfic. That's
what yeah. So it is based off of, like, a novel. And I don't know. I just think that things don't translate well.
Gotcha.
Like mannerisms and things like that that you have to really get used to, because I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And there's a lot that you have to, like, you have to kind of get over the hurdles of that. Like, there's a lot of things that we don't even realize, like, as Americans or, like, English speakers watching it, like, we don't realize that it's, like, a big deal and a big, like, language discrepancy with Mon, because she's, like, half English and, like, there's a whole thing.
Oh,
like,
that's right. That's a whole, she's British. They keep calling her white. Yeah, that's a whole thing. And then she's not rich, and that's a whole nother thing.
Yeah, I think things just don't translate. So, but once you get to the point where you're like, I don't even give a fuck. Like, I just want to see them together, happy, and I'm gonna cry myself to sleep. You know, shit like that.
I'm gonna watch it because, like, I just, I've seen worse, and honestly, and I've enjoyed worse. So I'm like, it, to me, it was just too slow. That was my whole thing. I was like, look, I put up with a lot and I enjoy a lot. Okay. So just like, for me to not like something, that means it's really not giving. But like, I get what you're saying and I'm going to give it a shot.
Here's the thing. You've seen worse,
mm-hmm.
but you have not seen better than what it gets to.
Oh,
like what it gets to. I have not seen better than that. Like the acting when it comes to certain things, it's phenomenal.
Certain things. Oh my god. Okay, well, you know, I'm convinced now. But literally, well, we talked off mic. Yeah. Like now I'm like, oh, okay, word. You've convinced me I'm there. I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, not to get too crude.
No, we'll keep it there. Hi, Mom. We'll keep it there. My mom listens.
You really liked this other series. I don't think it's Thai, is it?
No, it's Korean.
It's Korean. It's called She Makes My Heart Flutter. Much shorter form.
Yes.
But, you know, very, I think it's a lot more like heartwarming. I would
say. Yeah, in comparison to like what Gap is doing.
For now, give it a minute, man. But it's completely different. And to me, like, it's good and it's cute. But for what Gap does, it just doesn't compare. But I liked it.
No, yeah, like we're talking about She Makes My Heart Flutter. It's on YouTube. It's like a 5-part. It's only an hour on YouTube.
Total.
Yeah. An hour and like 5 minutes or something. And it's this really adorable, like fluffy K-drama like lesbian story. And it's super adorable. And if you're not into like things like Gap, which I am into things like Gap. I just didn't make it there.
You are. You just don't know yet.
No. I'm into it. I am fully saying I'm into it, but I just didn't make it there. But if you just want something like light and fluffy and like cutesy and quick, like She Makes My Heart Flutter is adorable on YouTube. And I literally had to watch that after Gap just to like cleanse myself of like nothing happening. God. Yeah, because I was just like, nothing's happening. Like, I like these side characters more. Like, I want to know them. And I always want to know the side characters more. But still, I had to, like, cleanse with She Makes My Heart Flutter. Just because I was like, I don't know what's happening. Like, nothing's happening. They're giving me nothing. But
see, I was episode to episode with Gap. And in between, you know, I had to wait a week in between episodes. So I would seek out other, like, web series to, like, help me get through it, you know?
The and, gap. Like, get, and help this, you this through was the one. Gap.
Yeah, exactly. And She Makes My Heart Flutter was one of the ones that I watched to just kind of like hold me over a little bit.
Gotcha.
And I liked it.
Yeah, it's so cute. Like, I like, I'm going to give Gap another chance. But before we move on to like trashy things, I do want to say that I did watch a straight war movie this weekend and it was like totally worth it. Because, you know, most war movies are anti-war movies. And I'm only saying this because I really want to shout out, We Have Thoughts podcast, because they always do this like Oscars movie review watch, and I think it's amazing, and I think you should go listen. I think everyone should go listen to it because they know their shit. I recently watched All Quiet on the Western Front just so I could listen to their episode spoiler free. And again, it's We Have Thoughts podcast. Some of my favorite people that review movies besides us, like, you know, because I love us, right? But like but no, I really love them too, and I think they do a great job. And go watch a war movie that's anti-war. Like, it'll really, I mean, all I like war movies.
And it's nominated?
It's nominated for an Oscar. I don't want it to win, but it is a very good movie. Like, I watch all the war movies that come out. 1917, All Quiet on the Western Front, fucking Dunkirk. Like, I don't know what it is. I love a good fucking war movie because they're anti-war. Like, it's it's anti-war propaganda. So I'm very into that. Like, let's not actually do stuff like this anymore. But it's beautiful. It's great. Go listen to their podcast on it. I'm going to listen to their podcast on it. But I just, like, wanted to throw that in there because Oscars are March 12th. And I don't want them to win, obviously. And I don't want the Banshees of Inisherin to win because that's a really good play. I would have liked to see a play, but I don't like that movie. Not more than...
Well, speaking of
more than awards, everything.
Though,
Right,
Everything Everywhere. Speaking of them, they swept the SAG-AFTRA Awards yesterday for us.
Yes.
So probably a couple weeks ago from you guys. I mean, I guess it was kind of obvious, but there was a few first-time Asian winners.
Yes.
Which is crazy. Absolutely nuts. Like,
it's fucked up.
It's fucked up.
It's fucked up.
Like, that's so wild, but... They apparently swept, and another highlight from that night is Miss Lisa Ann Walters showing up with a handsome date by the name of Elaine Hendricks. You fucking parent trap motherfuckers know what I'm talking about.
Like, they did that for us. The gays. They did that for the lesbians, the baby gays and the lesbians.
I love self-awareness when actors know that they are just shipped beyond belief.
And Elaine Hendricks wore this amazing tux, and Lisa Ann Walter, like, oh my god, she's like human Jessica Rabbit. Like, Oh, she's so beautiful to me. Like,
she's fine as hell.
She's so beautiful. Like, oh my god. Like, and you know, they interviewed her and she was talking about how like Shirley Ralph was like, you know, kind of getting her out of her negative self-talk because she kind of, you know, people get shitted on for their bodies, especially when they're in media and like in front of the camera. But literally, she's like Jessica Rabbit. Like, that woman is beautiful. Oh, absolutely. Lesbians love her. Anyways, I'm obsessed for with her, sure. And I'm obsessed with them. They look so good. Can we talk about Francesca on Perfect Match?
God.
Oh my god, a bisexual menace, like.
Right, and I don't know if you've been following what she's been saying. You know, it's a year later, and she has a whole different fucking life now. So she's been kind of like taking the blows and being like, I'm not even that person, you know?
I mean, yeah, I'm 1,000% sure she's no longer that human being. And you gotta do what you gotta do if you're on a TV show to win money, right? Like, it's less about being authentic and more about being a Scorpio, I guess. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't believe I'm gonna say this. I think I dislike her more than... No, never. But she's like... She's better than Barstool and Shane, but dear Lord, she's really trying to like get near their level of shittiness. Like, that's how much I dislike her. And I love Scorpios, but I think she's just a misunderstood villain, you know?
I think she signed up for a role. She signed up for the villain role in a house full of villains. Like,
imagine.
Most of those people, those reality TV people, are the bad guys in their respective shows that they came from.
Yep.
So, like, how do you out-villain a villain? You have to, like, there's producers that are probably directing her and being like, you gotta fucking go harder than they are, like, which is hard to do.
And yet, she manages it, and she's so good at what she's doing, and when she does it, you're just kind of like, I'm not even mad, because, bitch, that made sense. Like, if I was on the game, and I was trying to win, I would do the same thing. Like... it's computing. The math is mathing for me. She's doing things that make sense. You know, like, as a fellow villain, I would have been like, yeah, like, okay, you're trying to win. This is how you win. But I still like her more than I like Shane and Barstool. So that's saying still a lot
about
her.
So much more than fucking Barstool. Like, so much She's more. Like, I hate that guy. I hate Joey, too. I know he's not a bad guy in this, but he's so mean.
I don't know anything about Joey because I didn't watch that. Like,
The Circle.
Yeah, I didn't watch that Circle. So I'm just like, okay, so wherever... She's always going to be like 3 to 5 levels above all of them, no matter what she does, because that's how much I dislike the rest of this.
Are you caught up?
Yes, I'm caught up. I'm caught up on Perfect Match.
Okay, I'm excited to see where they're going from here on out. You know what I mean? They finally put that twist in that I wanted.
Yes, but... the same one that I wanted.
But I feel like it's going to go badly. Just off the bat.
It could go badly. She's that young girl from 20-somethings.
She's from that Austin-ass show.
I watched it, of course, because it's Austin.
I did, too. I'm telling you, she was the bad guy on that show, too.
She was wreaking chaos in that house.
Perfect Match is a bunch of villains put in a house.
Yeah, and then just being shitty to each other, which is kind of... Like, okay, that is entertaining. I mean, and who would have thought that Netflix would be doing what MTV should have done a long time ago, which is just, like, make really good, compelling fucking reality TV shows that are trash. But somehow, like, Netflix is doing really good. And I'm like, I've never watched this much trash TV. And I just want to thank Netflix for occupying my mind. Because, like, seriously, like, I watch
this
most
episode
of their
sponsored
stuff.
By Netflix. We're gonna be talking a lot about
literally everything and YouTube. Like, this is like very, we've been on the internet a long time, you can tell just by like our choices right now. I don't know if that's good. We should touch grass. Know.
Yeah, I went for a long walk yesterday.
Oof, not in the rain, not in the cold, I hope.
No, yesterday, well, it was a little cold, but it was fine.
Thank God.
No rain, though. Today the rain is back. Nobody cares about this. This was 2 weeks ago for you guys.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Literally. Sorry. And hopefully Everything Everywhere All at Once wins everything. Michelle Yeoh wins everything. Hopefully.
Right. I'm trying to think if this episode comes out before the Oscars or after the Oscars.
You should let it out before if you have time.
It's before. It is before. It's so yeah, hopefully I hope you guys are rooting for it along with us. Yeah, so let's get to it. Let's talk about our shit. Not our shit. That sounds bad. That's... Let's talk about our stuff for the day.
I mean, I don't... Yeah, we're not going to go there. I'm like, oof, yeah, honestly. But yeah, so today we're going to talk about some fun stuff. Some very, like...
I don't Mexican know, stuff.
Super Mexican Netflix stuff. But, like, I feel like they're doing something... There's, like, something going on, and, like, they put something in the water on Netflix. Like, it's been really good, and I'm shook, and I'm impressed by these two things. Like, I love these things so much, and not enough people are watching them or talking about them. And, I mean, well, at least not in the U.S. I found out that in the Spanish-speaking, like, media, they're doing great, so.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, that's what I found out. So I was like, okay.
I mean, I guess it does. It is their territory. Like, if we really think about it, maybe I'm not the intended audience, but I am the audience. So give me some promo.
You're definitely. I think we're definitely like part of that audience. We have to be like.
Interesting. I don't know. I feel like it didn't get promoed. Neither of these.
Oh God! Which, yeah. No one knows the fuck. No.
Which I believe my topic came out first, unless I'm mistaken.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure yours did. I'm really excited to hear about yours.
Yeah.
Iconic as fuck.
So iconic. It's an instant classic for anyone that, people actually fucking watch it. It's called La Flor Más Bella, or The Most Beautiful Flower in English, and it came out on December 7th of 2022. Although to me, like I said, it seems like it didn't come out at all, because Netflix didn't really promote it, maybe outside of, like, Mexico, or, like, that market. Mm-hmm. But I think, I mean, if Elite Way, fucking Elite from Spain, gets promoted like a motherfucker, then so should something like this, you know what I mean? Like, I guess it's not quite Euphoria, but it's still pretty good. But yeah, it was created by Fernanda Eguiarte and Michelle Rodriguez, who... you know, name the main character after herself. Fernanda has written for loads of shows. One that stood out to me was Ingobernable, which we covered very early in our career, and I love.
Oh my God.
She's a lesbian and she's Mexican, and yeah, so obviously that's probably why she's connected to some cool shows. Michelle, however, is mainly an actor who apparently was very charismatic and funny, and they brought her on for that reason, and had, you know, the whole main character is sort of inspired by her. Yep. And so let's get into that. Actually, La Mich, which is what I referred to her as, but her name is Michelle, she's played by Esmeralda Soto, who is also in Las Bravas. We talk about that show a lot because it's really, really good.
Amazing.
And we love her to death. She's great in both of these things. But Mich is a plus-size teenager who desperately wants everyone around her to, like, see how fabulous she knows she is, which is, to me, a little revolutionary, right? Like, there's always, like, the fat character who, like, doesn't know how great she is and doubts herself and is insecure. That's not Mich. Mich is like, I can sing, I can dance, I'm hot as fuck. Like, what are you not getting? Like, no captas, güey. Like, she's... She knows, and this other people don't see it, you know, with the exception of her, like, two close friends and her family who do see that, and they are very supportive. The problem for her, I guess, is that she's, like, invisible at school. Like, not actually invisible, but by design from one of her cousins who's at that school, she's invisible. She's made to be invisible. Her cousin, she's, like, this white popular girl who...
yeah.
Who, like, hangs out at the water fountain, not the water fountain, but, like, the fountain, which is, like, this spot at the school that is, that they, like, verbally deem white-sicken territory.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, like, incredible to, so early on in the series, be calling out these, like, embedded structures of, like, colorism within just, like, the basic ass.
Episode one.
Yeah. So that's, like, the, like... bland. I don't know if you guys can hear my roommate's dog just running around my room right now. She literally just, like, poked at my mic. She's so mad that she's in here right now. But anyways, all the like blonder or like lighter haired and light eyed crew hang out there, and they shun like any less popular people who try to sit there, and like that's their territory. It's kind of funny to like, you know, hear you're a Latino, and there it's like so separated, like because there are these lighter skinned, but like not just light skinned, right? Because like what a white Latino is in the U.S.
Swedish looking,
it's not yeah, it's not what a white Latino is in Mexico. In Mexico, you look white, like like you're freaking blonde.
You look, you know, German, I mean, okay? That's how white yeah. you are. You think you're German.
Yeah, where and then everybody, you know, if you have dark hair and brown eyes, like that deems you like a dark skinned person. Like that's all that it takes. Just don't have colored eyes and light hair.
Don't be blonde and look German or Swedish, and there you go. You're no longer in the hierarchy of Mexican colorism. You are not the best.
Yeah, yeah, it works a little differently over there. Anyways, it's not just her cousin that's the problem, though. It's also this guy she's been seeing.
Oh, God. Has it been the
home? Like, yeah, who, like, he also pretends to not know who she is, right? Like, they've been seeing each other for a year, and he promises, well, after a year of dating, they're going to come out of the closet. Like, that's how they phrase it. The literal closet, though, because that's where they go and hook up, because he's like ashamed yes. to be seen with yes, her.
It's the actual closet, I remember.
Yeah, but like, but that's a little bit of foreshadowing for you. Yep. But to no one's surprise, but Misha's, he doesn't follow through, and she ends up having to like dump his ass, because like, what the fuck? Like, it's been a year, you know what I mean? And that's kind of like, I think that's where like the story kind of pops off, is her being just like fed up with like the status quo of her life, which she was already fed up with it, but she was like, so you know that thing where you're like working within the system to change it, but then you realize it's never gonna fucking change, so you have to dismantle the whole damn thing. That's what she's trying to do. Amongst those who would have called the fact that he was not gonna follow through with it are Meech's best friends, one of whom is like the gayest looking straight woman like I've seen in my fucking life. Her name's Tanya. Yeah. If she's straight, she doesn't actually say that. She hasn't clarified.
Yeah, she hasn't, or they haven't like identified what they are. So I'm like, maybe yeah. I'm hoping maybe they're like non-binary. Like they're
giving non-binary for sure. They're giving. They haven't said that. We can't confirm it. It just seems like, yeah, there's not, none of that is vocalized. And there's also Yadi, who has a very supportive role.
She does like K-pop, so I like her the most.
Of course she likes K-pop.
She's my favorite one because she likes K-pop.
She's your favorite one? You gotta be the only person who's ever said that.
No. Like, other than, like, Mish. Like, and obviously the other person we'll get to. You know, I like side characters.
Yeah, yeah. But those particular two side characters are sort of Mish's moral compasses throughout the show. Mm-hmm. Like, they are never that dissatisfied with their status at school, but they are supportive friends, so they're of course gonna like rage against the machine that Meech wants to rage against. And unfortunately she forgets to treat them as more than moral compasses and her friends. Oof. Like she forgets to cherish them, you know. So problems ensue. But yeah, basically all of that to kind of describe how this show goes about interpreting what it is to be fat and being visible and invisible at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like, you're too visible if you're like in any sort of like taking up space physically, or like trying to be in a play, or like whatever, like trying to date outside of your fucking social class, as they say. Whatever the fuck it is, like this, like that's how they're portraying it. And then like also being invisible, like she has teachers that she's known for the whole semester asking her who she is.
Yeah, they don't see her,
like everybody pretending that she doesn't exist, which is crazy. Like, yeah, so I like that they were able to like portray her as like this strong, confident girl without ignoring the facts of society. Like, this is still
yeah
how the world works. Like, unfortunately, like her being super confident isn't gonna fix everything. Like, whenever people are like, you know, like two fat characters or people in real fucking life are like, well, you just need to be confident in yourself, you just can't be insecure and that'll fix everything. No, it fucking won't. Like, people are still gonna treat you like ass. They're still gonna treat you as less than. Like, you have to work so much harder to prove yourself. But that's exactly what Misha does. Is she fucking works her ass off.
Yes.
And, like, keeps valuing herself. And, like, another guy comes into the picture. He also doesn't fucking value her enough. And, like,
of course,
goes after somebody else. But then, like, ends up, like, both of the dudes in this, who not much of a spoiler, but a little bit of a spoiler, but they both come to the realization that they're fucking stupid. And, like,
they are very stupid.
Yeah, and they're like, okay, I'm gonna go after Meech, but there's only one person or one love interest in this whole thing. This is what I'm just gonna go ahead and get spoilery. So that's a warning to you guys, if you haven't seen this and you don't want to get spoiled, then maybe move forward like 5 minutes. But we meet Majo, who is a new student. She transferred in under mysterious circumstances, and she immediately sees who Meech is. She sees Meech for, like, all of her adorableness, all her talent, all her, like, beauty. And she, like, is just starstruck. You know what I mean? They're both sort of, like, starstruck at each other, because this girl, who, she's not a white chicken.
Nope.
She's, like, she comes in and she has all that confidence that they tell you to have and all that stuff, but she's also a thin girl and she's, like, you know, new and fresh and shit. And she immediately gets a seat at the table with the white chickens and is sort of, like, I don't know, like, breaking the standards and shit like that. Yep. And people are listening to her. But, like, she's not like these other people. She sees Meech. And she cares more about Meech than she does about these other people. And, like, it's just really nice to see that, you know, there's this other, there's a anime called Kiss Him, Not Me that I've talked about before, mm-hmm. where it's kind of like that, where, like, all these dudes don't see this girl until she loses weight, but there's another character who's a girl who does see her immediately, and she's just like, I love you.
No.
You know,
that's so cute.
Like, that's how shit should be, you know what I mean? Like, you shouldn't have to wait around for someone to, like, understand that, like, you're there.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, so I really like that character. I think she's also, like, multifaceted and has layers to her. She has shit going on. She has a history. And she also is, like, kind of, like, the first character to be out there who's, like, I am fucking bisexual, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And their whole story, in general, I think is really cute. They have really good chemistry as actors and as characters. And they have these, like, the storyline where they, like, lose track of time together.
Oh, yeah.
And Majo's just, like, endlessly supportive. They have the best, like, spoiler alert again, like, first kiss scene. Like, I love that one. I think it's super cute. Yeah, so what did you think of Majo? I know you liked her.
Oh my god, I was obsessed with them. Like, they were adorable, and it was frustrating because Meech is acting like a 16-year-old, or however old she is. She's acting like her age.
Like immature kid. Yeah.
Immature, making mistakes, doing all the things you don't want her to do, but then again, she's just so damn beloved that you don't care. But you see her connection with Majo, and it's like, literally, like, time slows down, and, like, she only sees her. Like, she only sees Majo, and Majo only sees her. And it's, like, so obvious to the audience that, like, there's something deeper. Their connection is just, it's more meaningful. And they're more connected to each other. Not, you know, not to, like, shit on bisexuals, but just because their connection is like that. You know, it'd be different if one of the dudes had automatically seen Meech the way that Majo did, but the way that it ended is, like, really upsetting to me. And
why?
Because I need season two now.
You want the end game already. You want it to be.
I don't want no damn slow burn. As we talked about earlier, I don't like a slow burn. Just because I don't think these things get renewed. So that's why I was like, fuck. Like, what if they don't give us a season two? Like, that was it? Like, I don't like how that ended. So just because I'm nervous about if there's going to be a season two. But no, I love them. And out of the entire series, I love the depth that they gave her as, like, someone who, like, and also, I think, like we said, the show is talking about, like, colorism and class in a way that I always want people to talk about colorism and class, you know, like, the way the U.S. can't even begin to fathom, because there are so many other things controlling U.S. media, whereas Mexican media, yes, they're still very indigenous-based and still kind of ignoring, like, black Mexicans, right? That's a very real thing. But at least they're kind of giving us different shades of like people and being realistic about what it means to be skinny and what it means to be darker and indigenous and what it means to be fat in like Mexico and how absurd that is and how funny, how you can kind of spin that for like funnies, you know, how you can spin the absurdity of being fat into like comedy, because it is this just, it's like anything. It's like being black in America, completely absurd. Racism is absurd. Colorism is absurd. Being fat is absurd. Like, humans do these things to each other that don't make sense. And I love the way the show is like poking fun at that. And also having like very real conversations about like machismo and like female friendships. Like, this show is doing a lot that I like, and it's one of my favorite things that I saw that I binged. And shout out to you, because like I love this shit so much.
God, I was immediately on that shit. I saw it pop up like somehow somewhere on Twitter, I think. Like,
yeah, you said Twitter. You said Twitter.
And I saw one tweet, you know what I mean? Like, that's all it took. Wasn't like it was being hella promoed. But yeah, you know, you just get a vibe from a show sometimes. And it worked out really, really well. My only complaint about the show is that there's too much singing, and you know, I'm not a musical girly. I didn't need all of that. Like, I don't need another High School Musical. Like, I just don't. So warning on that, there's a little bit of a song and dance moments.
Oh my God. Like, I completely blacked that out of my mind. Like, now that I think
because it's just like, why?
We didn't need that much. I mean, I'm so glad that all of these people are so talented and they're getting to show that talent. But yeah, I blacked that out for a reason. Like, I didn't want that either, honestly. And I love a musical, but it just felt strange. But, you know, whatever. It was really good, though. Are we rating yet or no?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like I said, I didn't like the song and dance shit. So I would probably... And there was so much focus on the dudes. Like, half cafecito for that. Like, honestly, not even like a sip of a cafecito, you know what I mean? Just for those things that I personally didn't like.
Yeah.
But it's such a good show. Like, it's so funny. It's so entertaining. And I didn't even mention this, I love how much it specifically highlights this particular town that they live in and all of the like vibrancy of Mexico, like turning shows always turn Mexico into these bland fucking looking towns, and this show makes it look vibrant, beautiful, cultural, like it makes it look like such a beautiful place that anybody would want to go to and live in.
Yeah, they always make it in a rancho in the middle of nowhere. And it's like, that's a reality. That's someone's reality for sure. That's a reality. But
Mexico is so colorful.
Oh my God, yes.
It doesn't matter where you are. It's colorful.
Especially,
and that's real.
It's like, yeah. And like, it's so saturated. Like, the colors are so beautiful. Like, that's, you can't replicate Mexico. It's just its own thing. And it, not all of it is a rancho. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, that's a whole different story.
I like the rancho personally, but
I mean,
they make it look gloomy is a point, and this show does not do that.
No, it doesn't. It's not like that sepia color.
Yeah, that sepia
yellow
tone.
like Narcos.
That's literally the U.S. That's my neighborhood.
Yeah, but like, the U.S. is gray and dull and boring, but like, Mexico is not, and it doesn't even feel, it feels colorful, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I give it, yeah, same, like, 4.7 panduces because of the way it ended. And I just, like, girl, what's your dilemma? I ain't got it. I know what you should be doing. I just, like, my bossiness comes in and I want to tell her what to do. But that's it.
Get your shit together.
Yeah, it's just, like, Dia and Cynthia comes out and I'm like, come on. Like, girl, what are you doing? Both of those men couldn't be seen with you in the day. Like, I throw them away. But yeah, 4.75 panduces. That's a very hyper-specific thing. And also, for the same reason as you, I don't like those dudes getting so much time.
Yeah.
Too many dudes. No dude supremacy, okay? No dude supremacy. So a fun thing about both of these things that we're talking about today is that the writer whose life story that La Flor Más Bella is based on, that La Miche is based on, she stars in this fucking show I'm going to be talking about, which is called Against the Ropes, Contra las Cuerdas. I didn't mean to say it like that. That sounded kind of like... but anyways, but La Miche actually stars in this, and... this show, love it.
Wait, stars like not the main character?
No, she's not the main character. I mean, she's
a,
like,
character,
she's a side character, but
got it,
she has like a little mini arc, and we love to see it. So my show is a little less gay, a little bit more just about like empowerment. It is one season, 10 episodes, all on Netflix as well. I feel like it's bingeable, but like it is 10 episodes and they're not that short, so do what you will. And it does take place in a working class neighborhood, part of Ciudad Mexico, Iztapalapa, Mexico. And that is a very important part of the narrative, part of the story, because this story, this show, what it does extremely well is that it highlights working class Mexican people. It doesn't demonize the hood, you know, it's just telling you what it is, you know? And I think that's a very rare thing that you could see in any kind of media, is that like you get to see a working class neighborhood in Mexico that isn't like, oh, narcos, drug dealers. It's just like regular people living and existing and having community with each other. So it's like really beautiful in that way. That's why I think, you know, I wanted to highlight that it used to be a very dangerous part of Mexico City. And, you know, like most places, like where you're from, home is home, regardless of how dangerous it is, you know, it's still where your mom and your grandma live. So, fun fact about this show is that it is executive produced by the WWE. And it,
that makes sense to me, man.
Right? This is a show about Lucha Libre, and I love that there's there's real wrestlers and there's real Lucha Libradores. I don't know how to say
Lucha
that.
Lucha Libre Luchadores.
Luchadores. There we go, Luchadores. And they did actually really good in like all the Spanish-speaking markets. They were like third in Mexico. They were pretty high up in Argentina, Colombia, Ecuador, Peru, Spain, and Venezuela. So it is like, the only reason I bring that up is because like, again, like we're talking about like who's the audience, who's watching this, and we hope people are. So, but there are people watching this. It's just not like a lot of people in the US. So,
right.
Fuck it. But before I get into it, do you think wrestling's real? I
know. No, not like, obviously, not a lot story. Of it is not
yeah,
real.
Yeah, not the story.
Like,
the vast.
No, like, uh-huh. In general, like, WWE, I don't think any of those pretend to be real.
Oh, God, no. Yeah, but the stunts are real. Like, these
right,
are just,
I mean,
like,
there's still a physicality to it, just because it's a little, like, it's a little bit like acting, like.
Yeah, like, you know what I mean? Well, no, like, to me, I'm like, it's just, like, very charismatic stunt men that are, like, wrestling. That's what it is to me. It's like stuntmen that are wrestling, like very talented, very charismatic like stuntmen, because a lot of what they do, if they fuck up, you're actually really gonna break your neck. So it's like like, yeah, it's very dangerous when you really think about it, because no, they're not really punching each other, but if you're jumping off the fucking thing and you have another human being and you're hoping to God that you don't fuck up and they don't fuck up so that you both don't die and break your necks or back, that's so real to me. I'm like, you have to perform these stunts. It takes a lot of physicality. It takes a lot of like timing, flexibility. So in that way, I know wrestling's real, because I'm just like,
yeah,
that's so dangerous.
I see you in the air. I see you fall on your ass.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah,
you could die. Like, it's very serious. So like, I in that sense, Lucha Libre is very real to me, and I love, right. I love, love, love. My friend Halissa is like giving me renewed love for wrestling, because I'm just. Bad Bunny, he's recently going to be starring in a wrestling Lucha Libre movie.
That man does everything.
He does everything. Bad Bunny, the one man show. And one he wonder. And you know, I was watching a movie he did, and I was just like so impressed, because it's just, if you think about it, one person fucks up, you're dead. So like, shout out to these women. They train for 3 fucking months nonstop with real fucking luchadores so they could get this down. And the story is kind of like cute, but it's definitely not as gay. And I'll get into it right now. So it stars Angela, who is played by Carly Sanchez. She's the lead. She plays the luchadora Novia Negra. Like, there's 3 different types of wrestlers. There's like heels, faces. But in Lucha Libre, there is Rudos, which is the bad guys. There is Technicals, which is the good guys. And then there's Exoticos, which are like wrestlers that are in drag. Isn't that cute? And that's why I'm like, Lucha Libre is lit. And she is a Rula, because she, you know, she's she's the novia negra. She's kind of like the bad guy, but like
we're rooting villain for her. Coded.
She's villain yeah. coded, but also at the same time, we know she's
the
it's good
like the
guy.
Way that people like. Mm-hmm. And this is a bad example, but the way that people like the Joker, you know.
Oh God, yeah.
And the way that people like
misunderstood. You know,
yeah, that or like in general, like villains, right?
Villains
like
are slow.
Scarlet Witch, you know what I mean?
Yes, yeah, she's pretty beloved though. I
that's what I'm saying, yeah.
There's nothing wrong
beloved
with her.
Villains.
Beloved villains. But she's actually like, it's so funny because she's villain on in the ring, but in real life, she's definitely not the villain. And the character who is playing the Technica is actually the villain of the show. So I think that's fun and interesting. So Angela recently is released from prison after 6 years on false charges. And she's released and she finds, you know, her family completely estranged from her. Her ex-boyfriend has now moved on to a new woman named Dulce Caramelo. She's a Technica in Lucha Libre. And she's played by Scarlett Gruber. Who she finds out that her daughter Rocio is obsessed with. So she's coming back after 6 years and her daughter fucking ignores her, hates her, well, doesn't want anything to do with her. Because I mean, honestly, you're gone for 6 years. Doesn't matter if there are false charges or real charges, you still were gone, bitch. So her daughter wants nothing to do with her, and she sees that her daughter has become obsessed with this fucking luchador who sucks. Like, she's not a good person. Dulce Caramelo, well, you know, she's villain coded.
She's a very flawed.
She's a flawed human. She's not that bad, and that's the kind of.
She's definitely like evil stepmother vibes.
Yes, but she's nice to her stepdaughter.
Right, exactly.
Like this show, what I found interesting, I'll get into that later. Let me keep going into it. So she struggles to regain her relationship with her daughter, and her mother, and everyone. And she's kind of forced back into civilization, trying to like. Find herself and get a sense of who her family is, because up to this point, like, she's been in fucking jail, and now she's thrown out into the wild. And a cool thing is that she immediately gets a job and she immediately finds community with other women. She goes to work at a wedding dress shop, and she makes friends with everyone that works there, and all of them join her in becoming luchadoras. Like, they all have masks, they all protect her secret identity, they all have secret identities. And one of my favorite things is Michelle Rodriguez, who La Mich, she plays,
it's based on,
yeah. Such a bad bitch. Even in this show, she is a bad bitch, and she finds her own power in wrestling, as do most of these women. They all know who they are, but they're kind of like invisible in their own way because of their class, right? So none of these women are rich. All of them are in a working class neighborhood in Mexico, working and not for much money. So they kind of find themselves and their own freedom in wrestling. And this is the way that Angela is going to regain her relationship with her daughter. This is how she's going to regain her own identity because of who her father was, who's also a wrestler. So she's kind of, it's already in her blood at this point. She's like, if Rocky had a daughter, you know, she's, of course, she's gonna give, you know, boxing a chance. Same thing with her. So what the show does beautifully is that although she is an incarcerated woman, she's not isolated, she's not thrown away by society. There's a really good balance of like good people doing bad things in the show, where no one is really demonized for the things they're doing, even if like they're really shitty. Even her ex-best friend Malena, played by Maria Balam, she does some pretty shitty things, but you don't find that out till later. And for most of the show, she's actually trying to help Angela clear her name on these false charges, which I think that's really interesting, that like you don't see her as the villain, and you don't see anyone as the villain. Even Lalo, her ex-husband, he's really kind of put a distance between himself and his ex-girlfriend for a very good reason. You know, like, you come out, he's had this idea that she's been, like, selling drugs, and she's not a good person, so he's naturally protective of his daughter. Like, none of these characters are actually acting in this irrational way to her, you know, like, they're assuming that she has a problem and that she's not changed. And she spends the entire show getting redemption and also being her badass wrestler. So I think this, like, show is, like, really beautiful and special in that way that, like, we're not demonizing these people. Even Dulce Caramelo, who, like, sucks, but at the same time, she doesn't. You kind of understand the logic of her protecting Rocio, which is Angela's daughter, from Angela. Because at this point, we don't know what kind of person she is. But what the show also does extremely well that I really liked was having this balance of, like, the female gaze, like, having the women take care of each other and having real community with each other. Like, the women in the dress shop become everything to each other. They're lawyers, they're her fucking support system. Michelle Rodriguez's character has a dumbass husband who she had to beat up, and after that he became obsessed with her. Don't try that at home, kids.
Stand up for yourself and everything will work out.
Yeah, it's kind of like that's like not the solution to everything if you beat up your husband, but it was like a good comedic relief. And this character, you know, she kind of like, she knew she was a bad bitch, but she just needed to beat up her husband because he wasn't seeing it.
He was like top level machismo asshole though, like the whole fucking time.
He sucked. This happened. He was the villain.
I fully expected her to dump his ass, but you know, I guess they worked it out their own way.
Yeah, she just needed to do what she had to do. Maybe that's what he's into. That's his kink. But like, anyways, there. And another really cool thing the show does is that they show true body diversity in the wrestlers. Like, Mitch's character, along with another character, are both plus size women who are wrestlers, and wrestling, they still kind of see plus size wrestlers as kind of like a little bit of a joke. But what this show does is they don't make them as funny, you know. They kind of like, sure, they're kind of comedic relief, but at the same time they're not, you know, if that makes sense. They're still these like fully realized characters who are just like, you're not really laughing at them. You think they're kind of like badass, like. And I understand their wrestling still has a long way to go with that, because even the way that I'm thinking about how they're, what their wrestling moves are kind of goofy, but I feel like they're trying to make it not at the expense of the actual person. We'll see. What did you think about that?
You know, I guess I didn't focus too much on that. Mm-hmm. Like, the way that, like, the plot was so heavy with, like, so much substance, I didn't care about the wrestling. This whole show is about wrestling and it's cool, you know, right? Like, all of it is for entertainment value, but I guess I just didn't focus on it.
No,
I loved how camp it was. It was very like,
yeah,
that's the reason that she got all those coworkers into it, right? They were like, oh my god, fashion show, yes. Let's get outfits. We're gonna be so cute. Like, it was very camp. Like, imagine a gaggle of gay men, but it's their women. Like,
yep.
Yeah, I love that about it. It was mad cute. I like that there's a lot of different personalities there too.
Yeah.
But as far as the wrestling, like, they're putting on characters, they're putting on a show. They're like,
yeah, they're badasses. They're being entertaining, you know? So it's like, to me, it's cool regardless. Like, I'm like, oh, this is so cool. This is fun.
Yeah, that's a part of it. Everybody suspends belief a little bit for the entertainment value.
Exactly. I love that about this show. Now, what I didn't like, what they didn't nail, what was lacking, was Lucia's character. So Lucia also works in the dress shop, and she just so happens to be in love with Betty, like the light-skinned white girl that works at the front. Because, of course, they did also, you know, they made a little jab at the colorism in Mexico, which Betty, because she's white from the hood, she gets to be the wedding planner. And, Lucia is a recent graduate. She's an attorney and she's just working there because, like, that's real. Because you're poor and you don't have connections, so you go work and you work anywhere.
She hasn't graduated and she also hasn't gotten her license yet or whatever. Like,
yeah, like she's not completely licenciada yet. You know how that works in Mexico.
Yeah, like, and you know, law school is expensive.
Yeah, you got to do what you got to do, right? But I do wish the only thing they really were lacking for me was Lucia's kind of story arc with her coming out to her family, but she got outed by Betty, the girl she had a crush on, by Betty kissing her. That felt very like, okay, like fan servicey, but not in like, it kind of felt like it came out of nowhere, right? Like, it was
like, honestly, a character flaw of the other girl.
Yes,
like, she fucked, but I love that they call it out. Like, the girl fucked up, and then the other girl called her ass out, like, was just like, how dare you?
Yeah, like, that is such a straight girl thing to do, like, to center yourself in someone else's coming out story. Like, come on. Like, yeah. To me,
that's how I believed that when she turned out to be straight, spoiler alert, I was like, yeah, of course she's straight. That's why she did that stupid ass shit.
Yeah, like, it was really annoying. It reeked of straight woman, and it's annoying. I don't want to see that. I do like that they were friends, but also I didn't like that. You know, it felt very, like, they just weren't able to, like, make that story make sense. You know, like, they were just trying to, like, include these characters and scenes together. And it felt kind of, like, misplaced. It kind of felt like a little, they needed to work on that or kind of remove it. Or, you know, I feel like it was mishandled. And that's crazy, but I really do feel like it was mishandled. And I really think Lucia deserves a different kind of, like, she deserves better than Betty, you know? Like, we don't want that. That's not what we want anymore at all. So that's where I'm going to dock it there because of what they did to her, like, coming out, queer storyline, also queer love interest, and then just became a friend. I mean, I get it. This show is about empowering female friendships or whatever, but, like, we didn't need that kiss, you know? She could have done that without kissing her, and I'm done with the, like, straight girl kissing the gay girl for, like, a gag, you know? It's not... We're done with that.
I think I was, like, less pissed about it than I thought I would be, right? Because, mm-hmm. I thought they actually, like, at the beginning, the first scene where they really, like, get close, I was like, oh, there's actually chemistry.
No, they have a lot of chemistry.
Yeah, they do. That's where I'm like, you really wasted that, you know? Like, I think it would have been better left open-ended because I think there's something there. Like, you gotta, like, you have to, like...
Even after.
That's one thing that they do really well when it comes to, like... ships in, like, Thailand or Korea and stuff. Like, if somebody has chemistry, like, they capitalize on that shit. They did not capitalize on it. They did not want to change the storyline, which is fine. I will say, like, I was like, okay, this is different than what I see every other day. True. On shit, right? It's different. They're not doing the same shit as always. They obviously wanted to focus in on
friendships.
Like, her just accepting herself.
Yeah.
And, yeah, and her friendships. But I thought it was a terrible way to come out, honestly. But, you know, life is messy. Like,
yeah.
And, like, there are a lot of queer Mexican people who, like, yeah, they're, like, fully accepting of the fact that, like, maybe I won't come out for a really, really long time. Like, a lot, that's the reality for a lot of people. Like, to me, it was real, but it was also, it sucked. But it was also, at the same time, I guess I just wasn't mad at it because... I like
they have chemistry.
I like a little messy, and also they had. No, I was mad at that. I was like, they had chemistry. You guys fucked that up. But yeah, the way that her general storyline, it was all very minor, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
So, at the end of the day, it was like, whatever. But I'm hoping they go somewhere better with the season two. If it's as good as successful as we think it could be, we'll get a season two.
Yeah, like, I'm docking it just because I'm like, I know they're not the center. She's the side minor character. They're just giving us something cool. But, I mean, like we said, they had chemistry before and after that. And, you know, even later, I was just like, what is the vibe here? Like, I'm not, y'all, that could happen later. We don't need it to happen now. These characters are young, you know? Like, I was like, they have energy. But, no, they did everything else right, though. Like, there is kind of, like, a little drag towards the end where it feels like things are kind of just happening, like, plot-wise. Like, the most ridiculous shit just starts happening towards the end. And I feel like maybe that kind of, like, brings it down a little bit for me just because I was like, okay, so your parole officer that worked at the fucking, like, prison is also an undercover detective.
Some of those things were like not lining up, but
yeah, like it was just like, girl, I know the budget said no, we can't afford more people, but I was like, these cops are not everywhere. I like that they were made jokes that, like, we're actively making fun of cops, but at the same time, girl, I know they ain't doing everything. I know they ain't in every single force all over everything in Mexico. Like, you can't work at the prison and also be an undercover drug cop. And then also, like, you know.
And also following people around.
Like, stakeouts and shit. Like, and then, like, you can't leave the house because now, like, it's just. It got really goofy and ridiculous there, and it kind of lost me, and I kind of didn't give a shit about that at all. Like, I'm glad they did what they did for Angela, but it's giving these cops way too much credit. Like, they weren't doing all that. Like, they're not doing all that, and especially in Mexico, let's be real. But anyways, we're not here for the real. We're here for the camp that is...
Yeah.
If we're doing camp, they really did the camp with the cops, because, dear Lord, I don't know what's happening, because it ain't right. But
yeah, that plot twist, though, I mean, I wouldn't spoil it if I were you, but it's up to you. But that plot twist, I just say,
oh my god,
me, like,
and you know what, I told Glow,
well done.
I when I was watching it, I was like, that's weird. I don't understand that. And why is he always here? He's always, like, around.
That's suspicious.
That's weird. Yeah, literally the TikTok sound. But anyways, I really liked it. Besides that, the goofiness of the plot, there was so much heart. Oh.
Absolutely made zero sense to me that the main character wasn't queer.
Though. Oh, like, my that God. That was the gayest
straight woman. And I know I said that for the last one, but this is the actual case.
This straight one. Woman. This one? That is not a straight woman. Me and Glow were just like, we saw her for 5 seconds.
You dress like you want to attract
women. Yes! Like, that is the gayest face. Like, she has gay face. Like, there's nothing you can do about it. I'm sorry. And that's a great thing to have. Like, you want to have gay face. Like, she, everything she does, like, her modismos, like, I don't know how to say that in English, but her modismos.
Mannerisms.
Yeah, that's what that, okay. Like, the way she walks, talks, and is. And I'm just like, you're queer coded. Like, you're coded for us. Like, girl, call me. Like, no.
Figure it out. Yeah. No, that was also very disconcerting. It took me a long minute. Like, I was waiting for her to come out and be like, oh, yeah, when I was in prison, I realized I'm a lesbian.
Like, yeah, like, something. The whole thing with Lalo, okay, cute. Like, I understand who the audience is, but, girl, I'm your audience, clearly. And I thought her and Dulce had a lot of energy, too. Let's not play, like...
Yeah, absolutely. There was energy there.
Her and Dulce...
It was so confusing.
It was like... Why is Dulce obsessed with you at this point? It's not, like, it's not because she doesn't like you. It's the opposite. It's giving, like, I'm going to bully my crush energy. Like, I feel like any woman that bullies another woman, it's like, okay, well, but look, let's talk about these deep-rooted, repressed homosexual feelings right now. Because, like, girl, it's never been that serious.
Her and the bestie, I feel like, had a lot of chemistry.
Oh, them too. And but they would make jokes about that. So, like,
they were very, like, couple coded, like.
Yes. Pinche, what's her name? I was gonna call her Canela. Pinche Canela. Her name is fucking Malena. 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 I was gonna call her Canela.
Mal in her literal name. Wow.
Yeah.
Anyway, what do you rate the show?
I gave it 4.5 panduces just because of the goofiness of the plot, like, things just happening because the plot needs to go, and also how they handled my baby Lucia and Betty. That was weird. Like, bring that, make that make sense. And then the lead character and Dulce not happening because the whole time I was waiting. Lalo not getting dragged, but also he didn't suck, honestly. It was annoying. He was actually, like, a decent father. There was so much heart in this fucking show, and I loved it, and I love that we're highlighting a super Mexican thing and a super real part of Mexico that's working class and colorful and beautiful. And, like, we say all the time, like, the neighborhood is its own character. Like, the chisme is real, the characters are real, the drama between the mom and everyone else is real. Like, it feels lived in, and it doesn't demonize the hood, and it's just being honest about working class people, and that's what I want. Let's talk about it, you know? Let's talk about classism and colorism and how that actually, like, you're not defined by whether the fact you were, like, fucking in prison or not. Like, she came out and she had community immediately. So I'm talking a lot. I'm going to shut up. 4.5 panduces. What about you?
I liked it quite a bit. Wasn't my favorite thing. Like, I wasn't super connected to it, right? I'm not a mother. or like, you know, a big luchador fan. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was very heartwarming. I thought it was very easy to watch too. So I'd say I would just give it like a half cafecito. Mm. Not super interested in straight relationships, if I'm being honest, but yeah. It had a focuses in a lot of places. So if you have ADHD, you'll definitely like it. Personally, worked for me. So
that's enough.
Yeah, I like this. Both these shows, I think they were made for a similar audience, and they're great. They're fantastic.
Yeah,
great fucking job.
They pass the female gaze to us, and they pass the TYC to us, where we're like, okay, we're like, are they diverse? Are they talking about something different than like heteronormative, homogenous?
Are they authentic? Are they real?
Yes, they were, and it was very real. So they passed all the TYC tests. So for that, like, go watch this shit. I don't know what you're doing. Don't waste your time watching. Well, no, do whatever you have to do to stay happy, because insane, because this place sucks.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, watch this. Sure. It made me happy immediately.
Yeah, give it a go. All right, guys. Well, thanks for listening. Well, we released this episode like a week early on Patreon, so if you want stuff like that, go follow our Patreon at patreon.com/CYC podcast. Also, we have a Twitter and an Instagram at CYC podcast, so follow us there.
Yeah, Twitter, the dying media.
Yeah. All right, bye guys.
Bye.